you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO, Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to the Positive Change Broadcast. I'm Robert Cook, and today we shall experience together a positive change.
Let's continue with part one of the two-part series titled, Six Enemies to Faith.
Jesus wasn't kicked around in the dust. Like I told him before, I said, a man who has a treasurer has something to put in the treasury. And Judas Iscariot was the treasurer. And he was stealing money over a 3.5 year period of time, and they didn't know the money was being stolen. Now, if all you got in there is 5 cents, wouldn't you know it was stolen? You got to have a good amount of money to filter it out and nobody know it's gone. You know, now Jesus knew it was gone because he knew what he was doing. But nobody else knew it was gone. They talk about selling this, that, and the other. Oh, the perfume, don't waste that perfume. Mary Magdalene, are you crazy? That could be sold. That's a year's worth of wages. We could have sold that and given it to the poor. And they said he said that. The Bible records that he said that because he was stealing from the treasury. And if that got in there, he had more to steal. But he was stealing all the time. But nobody really found out. Nobody found out. It's not because nobody was taking account of it. It's because there was enough in there that you can steal and nobody missed it. Jesus had a treasure. He was not a poor man. Solomon definitely was not a poor man. David was not a poor man. Moses was not even a poor man. Abraham was far from being a poor man. All these people who we look at in Hebrews 11 and Hebrews 12 in the Hall of Faith, the patriarchs of faith, they were not poor people. And even the ones we think are poor, their needs were met. They weren't really poor in the sense of destitute, not having their needs met. Yeah, they may not have had mansions because God doesn't promise you a mansion until you get to heaven. But I mean, you could have one on this earth. Depends on how much light of the word you want to walk in. But Satan wants you, doesn't want you to know who you are in Christ. He wants you to go somewhere where they're not going to tell you who you are, but they're going to pat you on the back and make you feel good. And when you're doing something wrong and you're living in a constructive way and you are actually believing wrong, acting wrong, pastor's afraid you're going to leave his church. So he's not going to tell you the truth. He's going to just kind of pat around. Oh, yes, sister, it happened. You know, leaving the Lord suffered. We got to suffer too. I've heard pastors tell people, they come to me and say, pastor, you know, the rent's this, that, and the other. I'm having so many problems with my kids. And this is advice he's got to them. Well, you know, sister, we all have our burdens to bear. Jesus, it was tough for him. So just count yourself being amongst Jesus because it was tough for him. He suffered. That's stupidity. Jesus did not suffer that. You know, he suffered some things, but he did not suffer that. And to equate poverty with some type of righteousness or suffering for Jesus is ridiculous. It's outrageous, but that's where we get from. There's some type of humility in poverty. There's some type of moral aptitude in poverty. There's nothing in poverty but lack. And the Bible says Jesus came that we can be redeemed from spiritual sickness, natural sickness, death, poverty, and lack. To be redeemed from poverty. To not have to eat out of garbage cans and beg on the street. We've been redeemed from that. There's no spiritual reward in that. But Satan will tell you otherwise. He'll tell you, oh, you're so righteous, sister, because you're suffering so much for Jesus. Oh, everything's great for you. You're the best one out there. It's ridiculous. The third point, we won't get to all these today, I don't believe. But the third point where Satan was trying to attack your faith at is the failure to understand righteousness. Failure to understand righteousness. The first enemy to your faith was a failure to understand what it means to be a new creature. So he can't hold things against you. And you know that when you confess your sins, hey, that's past and your old past is past. He can't make you feel guilty and unworthy. The second one was failure to understand your place, realizing, no, this is who I am in Christ. And I'm not a nobody. I'm a child of the living God. I'm worthy of the best. I deserve the best. No, you can't run over me and run over my family. I'm a son of God. And my father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Now, an attitude would develop when you start realizing who you are in Christ. Number three, he'll attack Christians and their faith in this area, failure to understand righteousness. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:21 reads that, for he hath made him, speaking of Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So God the Father made God the Son, Jesus Christ, sin for us that we might be made righteous. And this is something that's important to understand the devil doesn't want us to understand. I am not righteous because of what I do. The Bible tells us that man's righteousness, and I'll give you the literal translation of it. Man's righteousness is as menstrual rags before God. And we like to say filthy, but the actual translation is menstrual, you know, and that's a filthy thing back then when they used rags, you know. Man's righteousness is that to God. That's how much he cares about me trying to work hard enough to please God. That's how much he cares about me trying to read the Bible enough to please God. That's how much he cares about me trying to study enough to please God. It's good to do those things, but you can't do those things to please God. You do that for other reasons, to get faith built up so that you can go out and please God with your faith and so forth. God is moved by faith. What does it say? What does it say in Hebrews 11, verse 6 and 7? It says, for without faith, it is impossible to please God. But those that would please him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Hello, this is Robert Cook, inviting you to meet me at Joy Faith Christian Center, Sundays at 11 a.m. at the Palm Beach Lakes High School. For more information, find us on the web at www.joyfaith.com. You can listen to today's program again on your smartphone or on your computer online at www.joyfaith.com. I look forward to meeting you in person this week at Joy Faith Christian Center, where you'll experience excellence in ministry and excellence in living.
It's good to do those things, but you can't do those things to please God. You do that for other reasons, to get faith built up so that you can go out and please God with your faith and so forth. God is moved by faith. What does it say? What does it say in Hebrews 11, verse 6 and 7? It says, for without faith, it is impossible to please God. But those that would please him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, reading your Bible all day long is not what pleases God. Giving all your money to the poor is not what pleases God. Being in faith is what pleases God. And faith, if he moves on you with faith and say, I want you to go sow to sister so-and-so, and you won't do that, but yet you go give all your money to the poor, you haven't pleased God. But if you did that one thing and didn't give all your money to the poor, you pleased God because you've acted according to faith. Faith has to be the motive of the Christian. Faith. We have to be moved by faith. Now, again, the failure to understand your righteousness, your righteousness is Jesus' righteousness. See, I can come more boldly to the throne of God when I realize God is wearing Jesus' glasses and he doesn't see me for all I've done, but he sees me clean and pure through the blood of Jesus. And that's a hard thing because we always want to remember what we did. Why? Because it makes us feel better, I guess. Oh, I did that, but now I'm no longer doing that. So I've cleaned myself up. So I can come before the throne of God now because I'm so clean. I can come before the throne of God because I used to do this sin. I don't do that anymore. I've conquered that sin. So now I'm clean enough to come before God. Your righteousness is filthy rags before God. You will never be clean enough to come before God unless you come through faith in Jesus Christ. You have to say, God, you know why I can stand before you? I can stand before you because of what Jesus did. He took my every sin. He lived a perfect, spotless life. I have it. But he's lived a perfect, spotless life, and I come to you in Christ Jesus, and I know that you see me, and therefore I can boldly approach the throne of grace and receive help in my time of need and grace. And that's what you need, grace. You need God's supernatural ability to perform his will in your life. You need grace. You're saved by grace, not of works, lest any man can boast. So your righteousness has no purpose to God at all, but you have to understand that you're righteous in Christ Jesus. And that way, when Satan comes against you with all those other things, when you make mistakes, and I made a mistake yesterday, and I made a mistake today, and I sinned the day before, gosh, I'm fighting this, and you know, you're back to this fighting sin theory again. But really, you're resisting sin, but yet you keep falling prey to it. You can always get back up, confess your sin, and as long as your heart is right and you're really penitent, you can say, but God still sees me through Jesus. And you can still keep going and say, Father, help me. Father, help me. Strengthen me. Show me in the Word what I need to meditate and study to change. And the change will come. One thing will get out that you were doing wrong. Another thing will get out. And each year and each day and each week, you'll progressively get closer to the image and the stature of Christ. And remember, Ephesians 4:11 tells us that after Jesus ascended upon high, he gave apostles, evangelists, prophets, pastors, and teachers. Four, he gave the five, we call them the fivefold ministry gifts. He gave apostles, evangelists, prophets, pastors, and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints to do the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. And he gave them how long until we all come into the knowledge of the Son, Jesus Christ, and that we walk in the fullness and the measure of Christ. So are there still apostles today? How long did he say? He gave apostles, evangelists, pastors, prophets, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints to do the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Are all the saints doing the work of the ministry? Is all the body of Christ edified? Nope, not yet. Are we all walking in the fullness and the measure and the stature of Christ? Not yet. And he gave them for that purpose, so they are still modern day apostles. It's not what most of these people think they are, but it's still modern day apostles, still evangelists. Jesus is still calling them. He's still appointing them, anointing them, equipping them, and they're out ministering. We're sons and daughters of God, just as though we've never sinned before when you become born again. And when you confess your sin, you use 1 John 1:9, and you confess your sin, you're made whole. That sin never happened, as far as God's concerned. He has no remembrance of it. Our past life stopped existing, and God has made all things new. That's what they say when they say, behold, all things have become new. Now, if you get to feeling guilty and you worry about that and you don't let it go, you're just walking in self-righteousness. Now, I want to feel like I'm righteous, though. If somebody came and told you, oh, you're a righteous individual because you gave money to UNICEF, or you gave $1,000 to a church, you're righteous, then people feel better. Why? Because they want to be better in their righteousness. They want to do something. They don't want to say, God, you're not in debt to me. I'm in debt to you, Lord. I'm in debt to what Jesus did. I'm in a debt that I can never repay. But because you know why? Because that's a position of humility versus God, you have to accept me now because I gave $1,000 to the church. That's a position of self-righteousness. But we're used to earning respect. Whereas God says, I respect you because of what Jesus did. No, God, I don't want that respect, God. I want to earn my respect. I want to be able to say, I did it. I want to be able to say, I am righteous before you because of what I did. I gave this money to the church. I ministered to that person. I built this for you. I did that for you. Therefore, I'm righteous. God's not going to let that happen because it doesn't take faith. It takes faith to believe you're righteous because of what Jesus did. It takes faith to believe you've done so much that you're not worthy, you know. But man has turned his back so many times on God, he's not worthy. Let's just sum up the first three real quick. And I have a tendency to repeat things. So I want to make sure people get them. You know, six enemies of faith. One thing Satan's going to attack you in your faith at is that you are not a new creature. Nothing really happened to you. You know, you didn't get born again. Nothing changed. You still have the same thoughts. See, nothing's different. But the Bible says you have changed. You're new. You're different. All things are made new.
Today's message has been part one of the two-part series titled, Six Enemies to Faith.
The Positive Change Broadcast is a listener-supported ministry. Take a moment and log on to www.joyoffaith.com. Click on the online giving tab and set up an automatic recurring monthly gift of $50 or $25 to support the Positive Change Broadcast. Your generous gift helps us to continue ministering the word to your family and many others each weekday morning. So consider this program's value to you and schedule your support today. Make a difference by giving generously. Joy Faith Christian Center is located at Military Trail, two blocks south of 45th Street in the Palm Beach Lakes High School Performing Arts Auditorium. Come this Sunday and be a part of our worship service at 11 a.m. You'll experience praise and worship, practical and useful teaching in a comfortable, casual setting, and a warm welcome from the Joy Faith family. Joy Faith is an awesome church for you to learn the Word of God, develop your spiritual gifts and talents with believers just like you. So meet me this Sunday at 3505 Shiloh Drive in West Palm Beach, Florida, 33407. I look forward to greeting you in person this Sunday at the Palm Beach Lakes High School Performing Arts Auditorium. I'm Robert Cook. Thank you for joining me today. I believe you've got something that you can use to make a positive change in your life.
Precious Metals Reclaiming Service, an underwriter of the